As you can see, I'm not in the usual place today. I'm up at Rottnaling. But the recording seems to be, I mean, the connection seems to be fine, which was my only concern. So, okay. We've been focusing on the field as a way of engaging this possibility for really experiencing differently, sensing differently, connecting to the possibilities for knowledge differently. And this week's reading is the last week where we will actually, where the reading actually talks about the field. We, after this, after this, the reading really talks more about what happens inside a field or how things get set up inside a field. At least that's a one way of describing what it is. And as a result, we won't we'll in our discussion we won't be talking as much about fields, but that's the background, I think, for what's going on. That's the field of our discussion, if you want to put it that way. What I want to do this week is kind of help set up the transition, but also focus on what's talked about this week, which is the field of, what's the chapter title? The feel of the field, the field feed, the feel, fields of feeling, right? So let me point something out about what we've been doing in these first few weeks. The specifically about the section heading that is used in Knowledge of Time and Space. You probably all noticed that in each chapter there is a heading up above it. And for these first weeks, these first, this is our fifth week, so for the first 5 weeks we've been reading one section, and that section is called Shaping the Known. So that's the kind of underlying topic that we've been investigating. And of course, what we've been looking at is how the field is, you could say, the field is the shape that the known takes. The field is the whole thing. What is known is always known as part of a field. And we've looked specifically, because our focus is really the senses, we've been looking at the fields of the senses. And one of the things that we've looked at, of course, is that there's always many fields, you could say, in operation. And you could talk about fields of fields, or there would be different ways to do that. That's not something that Rinpoche talks about. But there's the field of seeing and the field of hearing. But always that arises within the context of a more comprehensive field, you could say. And in this chapter, we want to look at an element that really, you could say, completes the field, and that is feeling. So the thing about feeling is that it feeling brings a dimension to our experience, which you could say helps us identify it as our experience, or as the experience of a conscious being. If you imagine, for instance, that you have a camera, and you could say, well, the camera has a kind of field of seeing, right? And in fact, that vocabulary is used when you're talking about photography. You talk about the field of the lens, the the depth of field at least, but that's basically the idea, is that there is a field in operation for the camera, but the camera is not conscious, is not sentient. And if you ask yourself, what is the difference? Well, that's maybe a complicated question, but one aspect of it is that as human beings or conscious beings, we feel, and our feeling, our the field of feeling, always has a particular flavor to it, a particular quality to it, and that's what this chapter is pointing us toward. So, if we look at the field of seeing, for instance. It wouldn't be complete. And of course, we've been exploring this in our discussion, and you certainly have been commenting on it online, that when you engage a field and you are the knower in that field, that's the way it usually appears. It's one of the things we want to call into question. But let's say generally you are the knower in that field, it's not enough. It's a very impoverished view to just talk about the field of seeing, for instance, in terms of a description of what it is that you see in a kind of objective sense, in the sense that a camera, for instance, might capture. So the difference is that the field that we engage that is always active for us, or the whole range of fields, because there's lots of fields, as Rinpoche points out, they always involve a quality of feeling. So there's actually something interesting here that I don't want to make too much out of, but as I said, these first five chapters, or first, yeah, the first five readings, it's three chapters, I guess, or four, are called Shaping the Known. But at the bottom of page 381, Rinpoche talks about feelings, and he says that feelings shape knowledge. And it's interesting that the word shape there is in italics, so there's something very special, and very, very, something he really wants to call attention to when he says that feelings shape knowledge. So let's look at that for a moment. Let's look at the whole chapter, the whole paragraph. He says, fields of feeling help determine who we are and allow us to make judgments and assign values accordingly. Since the awareness active in any given situation will be related to these feelings, we could say that feelings shape knowledge. So if we say that a field shapes the known, and we say that feelings shape knowledge, what's the difference? Well, knowledge is one of these words, and there are other words in this chapter and other words that Rinpoche calls attention to. It's one of these words that points both towards what it is that we know and toward the act of knowing, right? It points in both directions. So our starting point is to say, the field shapes the known. That is, it's not as though there is some world that exists out there before we come along, and then we just, explore and discover it. Our knowing, our various, the fields of the senses and the fields of emotions, everything else shapes the known. And it doesn't make any sense to talk about a known apart from a field. But feelings shape the knowing, shape the knowledge, which points in both directions, as I said, that makes that field be what it is. So when we focus on feelings, which is what this chapter is doing, we start to look more at the subjective side, you could say. Subjective and objective is not the best way to describe this. It's just our ordinary way of describing it. But the basic idea is that any field is alive, that we, you could say that maybe that we inhabit the field. And Rinpoche talks about aliveness and the aliveness of awareness, right? He does that on page 382, right in the middle of the page. He's talking about the distinctions that we make when we set up our experience. And he says those distinctions express a kind of aliveness. The intensity of awareness available determines the quality of aliveness. It makes aliveness live. Well, that intensity of awareness, that aliveness of our experience, that's what's related to feeling. So sometimes in that connection, Rinpoche talks about the feel of the field. And the feel of the field is, you know, you could say it's necessary to complete the field. We can talk about fields, you know, we can have a kind of conceptual model that says that each sense has its own field, each emotion, each thought, and so on. But if we're going to make that a living reality, it's feelings that help us to do that. It's not that feelings are the only thing, but when something has a feel, that's actually what makes it real. It's really just the opposite of what we tend to think about if we come from a kind of scientific view, because in science you say, well, you have to strip away all the subjective stuff and just look at objective qualities. But here we're saying what makes our reality real for us is exactly that kind of subjective dimension, the feeling dimension. And it's when we tune in to the feeling dimension that we get a kind of completion of what's going on in our lives. Let me call your attention also to an interesting word that Rinpoche uses here. On page 381, he talks about feelings, and he talks about the relationship between feelings and determinations. Right? It's in the second paragraph in the middle. He says, he's talking about feelings, and he says, beneath each feeling, supporting its activation, pre-established determinations operate. In turn, each feeling creates further determinations. So the feeling helps determine what's going on. And that's pretty much the same point that I wanted to make when I said that feelings complete the field and they make it real for us. They determine it. You know, until we tune into that level, the feeling dimension, it's not alive for us. And again, you know, people have been exploring that. We haven't been using this vocabulary maybe, but you know, I remember Bruce talked about going for a walk, you know, or Dave talks about sitting on the porch, you know, and in each case, in each case, the quality shifts as you focus. And you know, we've been doing this practice of looking at the edges of space, and that's a way of kind of opening up the field. You could, in a sense, say it's making the field more indeterminate, so that it can reconfigure itself. But in each case, what you're really working with, what you really discover, and what makes it seem interesting and valuable is the feeling dimension. The feel of the field shifts. So Sudaba asks here whether that's connected to the law of karma or behavior patterns. Well, okay, so we don't so much like to go into Buddhist topics when we're dealing with TSK. But it certainly is true to say that everything in the field is interconnected. So actions are going to be are going to help shape the field, and feelings, as Rinpoche says here, are going to help shape the field. And your behavior, the ways you behave, are going to be shaped by the field and help shape the field too. Just talking about determinations, and how it is that the feel of the field helps determine the field. And I want to call attention to this very interesting last paragraph in the reading we had in the chapter, where he goes back to this theme of determination. So we were just looking at it at the beginning of the chapter, and he says, pre-established determinations support the activation of each field, and each feeling in turn creates further determinations. So it's like, well, I guess I won't try to say anything about that. So now let's go to the last paragraph. He says, determination operates within each field as the self-evidence of knowledge. Maybe we should go back up to the previous paragraph for a moment. And he's talking about field determinations. And he's saying when you make the fields of knowledge, this would include fields of sensing, fields of emotions, whatever, when you make them more transparent, then field determinations become less fixed. And we'll look at that again in a moment. But now he comes back, and in that context, he says, determination operates within each field as the self-evidence of knowledge. Now, determination is another word like the word knowledge, but it's even more obvious with the word determination. It's a word that has a kind of subjective dimension and an objective dimension, right? And in other words, in this case, it's obvious because we use it in two different ways. We determine something. That means we establish definitely, with a strong sense of the reality of what's so. We determine that this is this. There's no doubt in our minds anymore. It's determined. But we also have the subjective aspect of being determined, right? Well, I don't mean being determined like in fate, but I mean I'm determined to do something. So there's this willing, this willful quality with determination. And that's very interesting to think about how those two fit together. You might say that we're determined to do something, or we're determined to have things be a certain way. We're determined to determine. And when we can make the field less determinate, then we give up that kind of grim determination, and our experience becomes more open. And again, I think that that's what people have been reporting in their experiences. When you have an experience that seems worth mentioning, it tends to be because it's not determined in those two senses. So here he's talking about that. He says determination is the self-evidence of knowledge. And then he makes this very interesting point, which is one of the moves that gets made in TSK all the time, that helps set it apart, it seems to me, from other kinds of teaching. He says, he's talking about determination. He says, though normally seen as a limit on knowing, in other words, something has been determined to be this, that means it's not that, right? Though normally seen as a limit on knowing, it manifests an incomparable power, specifying a world, making the point. So that's the level at which our determination, which manifests in feeling, and we looked at that before, that's the level in which we discover within that this tremendous power, as he says, this making the point. And at the end of the very end of the paragraph, he talks about the power of determination as the decisive point in all creation. It is our shaping the field, shaping the known, shaping knowledge through feeling that makes things be what they are. So it's this incredible creative force. And I suppose, let me go back for a moment to the question Sudaba asked, where she said, is this connected to the law of karma? If you look at the content, that's where karma plays itself out. That is, the field gets set up, things get determined, and one way of talking about that would be in terms of karmic consequences. When this happens, then something else happens. That's all part of the field. But if instead you look at the power of determination, which really manifests in this at this level of feeling, then in a certain sense, and again, I don't want to make the connection too strongly, but in a certain sense, you could say you're free of karma. And that's exactly the move that we want to turn towards. And Rinpoche gives some suggestions, or one specific suggestion here for how to do that, and that has to do with making the fields of knowledge transparent. And basically that means, and this is a theme we've explored in this program and previous programs too, you don't insist on the truth of the content of what manifests. You allow it to be a field with its own feel, but you don't allow that determination to limit knowledge. And that's exactly what Rinpoche has been talking about here. And then he makes this interesting point in the paragraph above the one we've just been looking at, where he talks about how you can make the fields of knowledge transparent. And he says, in the physical domain, this will mean opening into space. And that's exactly what we've been doing. You could say that the whole focus we've had in terms of practice and experience working with space and the edges and borders of space, and the sense in the reading that excerpt from Sacred Dimensions about space and how space really brings everything together. That's all related to this idea of making the determination, the field determination, more transparent. So he says that's true in the physical domain. Now, you don't have to think of space as being only physical, but that's how he's presenting it here for this purpose. But he's contrasting that to something else. He says in the emotional realm, it, and that means this making transparent, right? Making the field of knowledge transparent. So in the emotional realm, making the field transparent means becoming more clear and sharp, less readily caught up in distinctions that carry a specific charge. So that's the kind of feeling analog, the mind analog to the openness of space, of opening more to space. And he presents it here in a kind of cognitive sense. First of all, you become more clear and sharp, but it still has that same quality, really, of opening to space. Now you're opening to the feel of the field, to the emotional quality of the field. And you're doing it in a way where in which you are not caught up in the content or in the judgments or in the determinations. So let's take an example. Let's see. I'm just going to see if Michael's with us. He's not, actually, as far as I can
I
see.
am.
Oh, you are? Okay. Are you call-in user too? I guess you're not listed by name here on the list. Okay. Well, you posted one of your posts on the discussion site. You talked about this feeling of resentment that you had with your supervisor, and that you were going to make that a point of practice. And that's very much related to what Rinpoche says here. He says, you know, if you're dealing with the emotional realm and you want to make the field determination more transparent, you have to be, or the way to do that is to become more clear and sharp, less readily caught up in distinctions that carry a specific charge. And the very practice of making it a field, of you know, experiencing things as a field is already a move in that direction. I guess if you don't mind, I'd like to hear from you. Working with that, did you find that helpful?
I think so. How emotions don't get blown away by some simple intention, but I think I became more empathetic to the other person and felt the kind of quality of pain that, and something she's going through. I had to ask myself, boy, I wouldn't be so balanced as she is, you know. But it did help. Maybe empathy was kind of the form that took.
Well, empathy, you know, makes a lot of sense because you could say that empathy is a move away from the self-evidence of what's going on in the situation, and that's the term Rinpoche uses here, self-evidence, right? He says, you know, we see things as being a certain way, but we can peel away the quality of that. And I think one way that's going to manifest is as empathy. We could talk a little more about the other place in this chapter where he talks about emotion, but maybe we'll put that off because I'd like us to do a little practice, you know, to make this more concrete. So at the top of page 383, so the basic idea here is transparency. The first basic idea is to kind of adopt this field perspective, because when you do that, you are not accepting the determinations, the field determinations, as being self-evident. You're making that self-evidence transparent just by taking the field perspective, or the having a field understanding instead of our usual understanding, which is from a particular point of view within the field, right? That's the first thing. Second thing is to make those determinations, to be aware of them, more transparent. And then the third point that comes up, that's, you know, because we're focusing here on feeling, and as I've been suggesting, feeling is when everything becomes real for us, when it becomes alive, is that you want to apply that transparency, that move toward the field and transparency of what's self-evident. You want to apply that in the emotional domain. So Rinpoche gives one more suggestion about that. It's at the top of 383, but let's start at the bottom of 382. He says, don't want to go back too far. He says there's a unique feel that's appropriate to the specified field, and we've talked about that. And then he says, but each such feel, for body and mind, for each of the senses, can be peeled away. So that's the verb, that's the action that's suggested, that you can peel away the feel of the field. One at a time, I'm still reading here, one at a time, or perhaps even simultaneously, we can open up the feel and the boundaries of each physical and mental faculty. As we proceed layer after layer, we come in the end to the commonality of knowingness. So you open the feel, and that doesn't mean you discard the feel, just as it doesn't mean you discard the field, but you are ready to you're ready to make the feel of the field transparent. That's what we've been talking about. And I'd like us to do that for a few minutes, and then we'll have a few minutes for discussion. And the idea here is that you want to go to a felt emotional sense. And maybe there is something you can pick out in your experience right now. And I think it would be helpful to pick something out that has a kind of a charge to it. So if you're feeling, as Rinpoche says, balanced and not so much caught up in emotions, let me suggest that you just focus in these next couple of minutes on something you would really like or wish for, and let that be the kind of emotional charge. It could be something you want, a particular thing, or it could be a situation where you really wish that a situation were in a particular way, or along those lines. I'll let you work that out. But something where you really get a chance to kind of energize the feeling quality of the field, and then the sense of stripping away, maybe that's not the best way to think of it right now, because that almost makes it sound like you want to, strip it away and throw it away. It's not like that. It's more just the transparent quality of the field, of the feel of the field, and of the determinations that, have been set up in the field, so of knowing that this is that. Let all that be loose. Let it all be open. So let's try that for a few minutes, and then we can discuss it, okay? Okay, so let's come back together. As always, doing this for a few minutes is a little limiting, but I'm always interested, and people really o usually have something to share. So I see some I see a comment coming in. So the chat box is one place to look. Anybody want to say something before we look at the chats?
This is Hayward. There's a sense of easing, that the emotion become less intense, and it's just, it feels like a body, mind, or psychophysical opening or easing of a position or stance,
Yeah, that's
as
good.
though the feeling were embodied.
And Rinpoche makes that point in the chapter. He says there's a body dimension. He actually says a physiological dimension to feelings. So and I think that that's that is a way of making more transparent. Is going to that level. I'm looking at page 382. He says, when we trace out awareness in terms of its qualities and intensity, and that's another way of describing what we were just doing, we notice that awareness has a physiological aspect. Sense faculties and feelings are linked to various parts of the body. This is linked to the mind. So there's a unity of knowledge, a knowing quality that could be described as physical, but also embodies knowledge. Okay, that's enough of that. But I'm just pointing to it because I think your comment, Hayward, is exactly like that or related to that. And I don't want to lose sight of the first thing you said because it seems to me that's the most natural aspect to become aware of is that there's a kind of an easing. And a kind of, you could say, an easiness in this way of making the field, going more to the field dimension, which is what we've been exploring, and what we're adding here is this sense of transparency, of making the feel of the field transparent. So first, we really need to tune in to the feel of the field, and that's why I wanted to have us work with something more easy to connect with on the feeling level. But as Rinpoche says on the top of 382 here, he's talking about rhythms of emotionality. He's talking about the mind actually, and all the different things that the mind does, and how the mind, he's saying about five lines down, he says it projects what it has created. And then he makes this very interesting observation. He says, a mind in balance is content and at peace. A mind out of balance is pushed and pulled in accord with the emotions. So I think the observation I'd like to make with regard to that is, mostly people try to create a situation in which we can feel in balance, in which the field and the range of fields, the field determination is smooth and smoothly functioning, and then we feel in balance and we feel at ease. But really what this is suggesting, it seems to me, what this approach, this field approach and this transparency practice, or space practice, you could say, what it's suggesting is that you could bring that same quality of being in balance. Because you are at the field dimension, the field of the field, you've peeled away, you've stripped away its claim to be what it is. I guess maybe I'll just leave it at that. So let's look. There's a couple of comments here. Sudaba says when the emotions are stripped away and the situation is more transparent, that seems perfect as it is. No need to make a move. Yeah, that's right. And that goes to what I was just saying is that there's The perfection doesn't come from the fact that the situation or circumstances change. It comes from the fact that we don't have to make it into something that we hope will give us a sense of balance. And Caroline says, moving between centered and on me and my feelings and linking with the bigger context of connection. So the sense was of expanding and contracting. Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting connection to make. When we work with the field, is that like the practice of expanding and condensing, we usually like to say? Everybody says contracting, but the exercise is called expanding and condensing. Is that like that? Is the expansive quality, when you bring expansion into experience, is this a way of doing it that has a special power? I think it probably is. So that's a good place to close. Okay, so next week, as I say, we'll go into another section. Instead of the section that we were working on was called Shaping the Known. The next section, which is the only other section we'll be working with in this program, is called Knowledge Ability. So you might keep that in mind as you work with it. And I'd say to work with this transparency or with the quality of space, the two go together. And you might ask yourself about the relationship between space and transparency and physical space and this openness of emotions. So, very good. See you next week.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take
Bye-bye.
care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.